For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. Luke chapter 2, verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Luke 2:12. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. Would you open your Bibles this evening once again to the book of Nahum? Nahum chapter 1, verse 7b. And then if you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. On next Sunday, we'll be moving to a new book, the book of Habakkuk. And so keep in mind, please, that this is the last time we'll take a look at any verses in the book of Nahum. I trust that you have been able to find the book of Nahum. If you have not, would please look on to the person sitting to the right or left of you. Maybe they found it and they can help you go to it. The book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7b, and the emphasis there is stronghold in the day of trouble. In a few moments, we'll begin our reading with Nahum 1:1. Read down through verse 7. But if you will now, join me in a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're here tonight again because of your matchless grace. We thank you for each and every person in this auditorium and also those who will be listening by way of the Internet. We pray that you will bless us, that we may be able to properly receive and properly utilize those magnificent truths which we learn from your wonderful word. We're thankful tonight that we have this word, the Bible, God's inspired message for us. We realize that this is the completed canon of Scripture. We have the opportunity to read and study and make application of these truths. And so we thank you this evening for the fact that we're the recipients of the grace of God and the mind of Jesus Christ by way of this magnificent book, the Bible. Bless us, we pray, in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Nahum chapter 1, verse 1. The Oracle of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elishite. A jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind and storm is his way, and clouds are the dust beneath his feet. Nahum chapter 1, verse 4. He rebukes the sea, makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers, Bashan and Carmel wither, the blossoms of Lebanon wither. Mountains quake because of him, and the hills dissolve. Indeed, the earth is upheaved by his presence, and the world and all the inhabitants in it. Verse 6, who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the burning of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken up by him. Verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. On the screen you see Nahum 1:7, the B part of the verse, which says, stronghold in the day of trouble. Now, if you will, please turn to the book of Romans. We're going to go to Romans chapter 12. We'll be looking at verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual, reasonable service of worship. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We're going to take a look this evening at Romans 12, verse 2. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to pay real close attention, because what we have on the screen tonight is the second verse of the 12th chapter of Romans. And we have it in English, and we have it in the original text, the Greek, the Koine Greek. This is one of the most powerful verses of the Scripture that I can find in reference to God's plan for you and me as a believer in Jesus Christ. It says, "And be not conformed to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that ye may prove what the will of God is, the good and well-pleasing and perfect." All of you know me well enough to know that you would hear me deal with the Greek with great excitement. And I'm tempted to be very excited tonight about the verse that we have before us. But I do not want to spend all my time exegeting, but I do want to spend some of the time. You have an emphasis here in "be not conformed to this age." What we have here is a unique word. You can see that it is in the Greek S-U-S-C-H-E-M-A-T-I-Z-E-S-T-H-E. Now, I'm hearing you say, "I don't want to know that much about it." But anyway, I will share it anyway. I want you to see that this particular word, the way it is used here, comes from the root word, which is S-U-S-C-H-E-M-A-T-I-Z-O, which is sus, S-U-S, and then C-H-E-M-A-T-I-Z-O. And so what we have here is a word that is used in such a fashion that all of us will actually shake when we understand what God is saying through the Apostle Paul to the Romans and also to us tonight. The word is conform, and it is a present tense, which means continuous action. It is a middle voice, which means the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. And then it is an imperative verb. I don't think it's necessary for me to repeat this, but over the years we've emphasized the fact that when you find a verb that's in imperative mood, it is a verb of command. So our Lord is saying that we're not to be conformed to this age. We're not to be participating in the things of the world and under the control of our sinful natures. That's actually what we have here, which is an emphasis upon the fact that if we are conformed to the world, middle voice will not be benefited. But if we are not conformed to the world, middle voice, we will be benefited. You see how beautiful that word is in the original language. So we have "be not conformed," and then it is "to this age." When you see this word, A-L-L-A, it is a strong conjunction of contrast. It is looking at something from one side and then looking at it from another side. And so what we have here is an emphasis upon you and me as a believer not being conformed to the world, but on the other hand, the contrast is that we not be conformed, but we be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, how is that possible? And you'll see it says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Please notice now that we have another verb, transform, metamorpho, and it is a present passive imperative verb. It's important for me to tell you again that the first word, conform, is a present middle imperative. It is important that I tell you that the second verb, transform, is a present passive imperative. Now, there's a difference between an active voice where the subject produces the action.
The middle voice, where the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. Or the passive voice, where the subject receives the action. Now, I want you to see that we have commands from God not to be conformed to this age, to this world, but be transformed. And then it says the only way that this is possible is by the renewing of the mind. Now, I need to stay longer here, but I want you to see that the next part of the verse says that you may prove what the will of God is. And now, this particular verb is an imperative verb, but it is up here imperative, here is imperative, now it's infinitive. So the difference in an infinitive is that it's a wish or desire. Now, what it's saying is that you and I should have a wish or desire not to be conformed to the world, and you and I should have a wish or desire to have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see how beautiful this verse is? You see how I would enjoy staying here a lot longer, but I have a lot to say, so I need to go on with this verse just a little bit longer. Because it says, be not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove, dokimazo, improve what the will of God is. Then we have an emphasis on what the will of God is. And it is the good and well-pleasing and complete before God. And the word good here is A-G-A-T-H-O-N that comes from the root word A-G-A-T-H-O-S, which is agathos, and that's a word that all of you know, which means God's good or intrinsic good. Now, I want you to understand that this is a magnificent verse, and we're going to come back to it, so I'm not going to put it too far away. We're emphasizing this evening, in relationship to the stronghold of Nahum, and here, the world's mold of Romans 12, this passage of Scripture says, and we put it down as number one, therefore I urge you, brothers, born-again believers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, you'll remember, if you have the King James Version, and you have some other version in your hand tonight, you'll have different expressions in this part of the verse. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, the King James says, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Most of you may have the King James Version. What we see here is, therefore I urge you, my brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, bodies as living sacrifices, plural, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Number two, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what I want you to see is that I've gone over this, and you will see that there's repetition. I will go over it time and time again, but you have to hear it over and over again to be able to comprehend what the content really is. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. When I got to this point, I felt like I needed to stop a little bit and say, this verse says, do not conform. Then I want you to be able to see how great this is. The Greek word is sou schematizo. Let's look at it. If you're able to see it from where you're sitting, it is S-U, and then the word scheme, S-C-H-E-M-A-T-I-Z-O. Now, we'll break this down, and we'll see that the first part of it means union with, or being fashioned, or imprinted. And then we're going to see how the word is used. It's, as we've already mentioned, a passive voice. On this page, I have two major things. I want you to see, on the one hand, what it means to allow the world to conform you, and for you to see, on the other hand, how you can be transformed by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Now, you'll look at it slowly with me. It says, and I want to read it to you, the passive voice says, it is done to you while you do nothing. This simply means that if you stay out of fellowship, out of harmony, not in proper relationship to Jesus Christ, you don't have to do anything to be under the control of the world's dominion. You see what I'm saying? In other words, do nothing and you will be under the control of your old sinful nature. So I put this down for you to be able to see. You become a trophy of Satan on the one hand, or you can become a trophy of the Lord Jesus Christ on the other hand. So I put down here, it requires no action on your part. Just sit there, do nothing, and you will be conforming to the world. Does that make sense? On the other hand, I put in capital letters, he's done the work, and we're the recipients of that work. So on the one hand, we're saying do nothing, and we're going to be conformed to the world. On the other hand, we are the recipients of what God has done. He's done the work, and we're to be the recipients of what he's done so that we can be happy, radiant believers. So we have the word form. Take on a form. And the idea is a scheme, a system, a plan. We can use the word schematic. What is interesting here is that J.B. Phillips translates this, don't let the world squeeze you into the world's mold. Now, I like that statement. J.B. Phillips, you know that there's a translation, J.B. Phillips translation. That translation puts this, don't let the world squeeze you into the world's mold. Now, most of you back there somewhere along the line, you had some Play-Doh. So I put down Play-Doh. Now, I put down the word squeeze. Now, you have to understand what I'm thinking. I'm talking about a number of different things. Tattoos, clay, coin, stamp, sleep wrinkles, cartoon rip-offs. My mind went into all kinds of directions here. Conform not to what? The world. And the Greek word there is aeon, A-I-O-N, present age. So when you go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, rescue us from this present evil age. I want you to pause with me and look at that. The Apostle Paul is saying, I don't want to be molded by Satan or my own sinful nature. I do not want to conform to this world. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. That's the way I can be transformed, is by the renewing of my mind. So the Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatian believers, said, rescue us, rescue me, rescue us from this present evil age. The present evil age has an agenda, and it is not God's agenda. Are any of you familiar with Romans chapter 1? Most of you perhaps have looked at that chapter before. And I'm not going to get you into it tonight because I think it would just really shake you to your boots. But anyway, in Romans 1, 28 and 29, the present evil age has been presented to us. And it is not of God. The present evil age has a ruler, and it's not the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. The present evil age, then, has a plan. It's not to take you to heaven. Satan's plan is not to take you to heaven. And the Apostle Paul, again, is telling us in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, I've had a heyday with this word in the original language because I had it down in a different fashion and I realized it was not the right word. And I want you to see it, and you don't have to worry about it. It is N-O-E-M-A-T-A. And it emphasizes perceptions of the mind. It emphasizes mind games, how Satan desires to affect our thinking, our mind. You and I need to think about this tonight. If we're not under the control of God in God's Word, if we're not consistent in growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, then Satan's going to play a lot of mind games with us. And I want all of us to see this very clearly. That's the emphasis here. And the Apostle Paul is saying that we're not to be ignorant of satanic devices, the games that Satan plays with the mind. I'm talking about your mind. I'm talking about my mind. Satan is in the business of trying to distract us and lead us astray and get us on the wrong track and move us down the road that leads to disaster, the present age. So I put down a few things here. This present age has an agenda. I left out the word first, and then I rearranged this. And you have to understand how gracious I am to our secretary, because I give her all this information, and then I make changes after she's done all this work, and she has to redo it. And so here I expressed to her my sorrow for changing. But I looked this over again, and I felt like I needed to make some changes. And so right here, this present age has an agenda. And I went back and changed it, delineated in Romans 1, 28 and 29. Then, if you'll look at those verses, but don't look at them now, just remember that these are powerful verses. Delineated in Romans 1, 28 and 29, to eliminate moral absolutes, to weaken religious influence, to promote toleration, to indulge sexual appetites. All of these are listed in those two verses. To change ethics, moral values, to destroy family values, to destroy traditional marriage, to get as much as you can one time around. We're only here one time around. So I want you to see that if you look up those verses, you will see how Satan deals with the minds of individuals, how he desires to play mind games and get us off track. We have a verb in the passive mood. By passively and unwittingly allowing yourself to drift with the current, you're sliding along with the world, the present evil age. The scripture says you were like that. Paul was saying to the believers, you at one time were like that, but not anymore. When I came to this point in typing this information, I had to put it up in capital letters, and you can see it. So let God renew. Let God revive. Let God restore our minds so that we can have what the Apostle Paul says when Jesus said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Are you able to see how fantastic this verse is? Be transformed. Metamorpho. Metamorpho. Transformed. What is that word? It's the word metamorphosis. I wish I could just come and sit by your side and ask you the question, are you familiar with the word metamorphosis? Do you understand what the word metamorphosis means? Are you familiar with the caterpillar? Are you familiar with the butterfly? How the butterfly comes into existence? Most of you have observed this at one time or the other, how the little pupa and larva and all that hangs there and makes its progress, and then eventually there comes out that magnificently beautiful butterfly. I notice that this is a passive voice. It's done for you. I do not transform ourselves. We cooperate and allow it to happen to us. Transform. Notice if you will take that word transform, Take the first four letters, trans, well, five actually, trans plural, to migrate or move from one state or place to another. There are many words that are used that use the word trans plural. Transit, transam, transition, transportation, transcontinental, transatlantic, translation, transfer, transport, transformer, transitional care. Now, you didn't need to know all that, but I want you to know that that word trans is used in many different ways in English. In the New Testament, Jesus was transfigured, the same word. Romans 8:29, the purpose is to be conformed to the image of his son. Metamorphosis. God's plan is for us to be transformed to be like Jesus. So you see it in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I don't want to move that page too fast. I want you to see this. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, and did you notice what I have here for you? It's in my left hand. Here it is. It's a first-class conditional clause. You remember those classes? First, second, third. If it is true. Second, if it is not true. Third, if I wish it were true, but it isn't. That's the fourth class. Third class, if, maybe so, maybe no. Four classes. The first one is one we have here. If, and it is true. Paul said to the Corinthian believers, therefore, if any one of you is in Christ Jesus, here's what you are. You are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Then it says, the only way that you and I can be what God wants us to be is to have a change of thinking, a renewed, by the renewing of your mind. Let's look at this. Would you allow me to just have a little fun here with this Greek word? It is A-N-A, then it's K-A-I-N-O-S-E-I. They're interesting words for new in the original language. This particular one is kainos, and it emphasizes the fact that a person is to have a renewed mind, or a brand new, or a mind that's made brand new. Do you follow what that is saying? A mind that's made brand new. God desires to take your mind and mine and make it brand new. That's what this is saying. And then it says, let the renewal be done to you. Always the Holy Spirit is the one who renews us. It is the Holy Spirit that regenerates us. It's the Holy Spirit that transforms us. So we have to understand that if we are in fellowship studying God's Word, our mind is going to be made new. Now I'm having too much fun. I need to move along. The Scripture says, your old man, though, is corrupt. Your old man is deprived, is defiled and depraved, dead in sin, slave, enemy of God. So if you look at these verses, 28 and 29 of Romans, it talks about depravity. And 2 Corinthians tells us that a person can be blinded. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now notice the old man, corrupt, defiled, depraved, dead, slave to Satan, enemy of God. But look at the new man. You've been born again. You've been changed. You've been made a new creature. So let God continue his job. God longs to make you and me continually new. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, Ephesians 2:10. So what we're seeing here is, day by day, God has a desire to make you and me new. Let Him do it. God wants us to have a renewed mind every day. Let Him do it. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our old outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Are you able to see how fantastic all these verses are? Are you able to see what Colossians 3:10 is saying? And have put on the new man. You have that new man, which is renewed by means of knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Conclusions. How do we have a renewed mind? Well, one, by loving Jesus Christ supremely, fixing our eyes on Him. And the Scripture says, behold the glory of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed. There's that word again, metamorpho. And it's a present, passive, indicative, first person, plural, of that word, metamorpho. Oh, I just want to get you and let that word sink into your mind. It's so beautiful, so magnificent. Changed. Changed into the same image. From glory to glory, it says, even by the Spirit of the Lord. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The veil is taken away. You've got to really listen to this to get it. Many times our minds are veiled. Satan desires to veil your mind. I told you a little while ago that Satan plays a lot of mental tricks. He's been working on your mind. I can see that there is always working on our minds. You are thinking about this, and you need to think seriously about it, because what this is telling us, Satan is constantly after your mind and my mind to keep us from having the mind of Jesus Christ. So the verse says, but we all with open face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I don't know whether I can tell you this with the emphasis I need to. And that is, I need to tell you that Satan is constantly putting a veil over your mind. Satan is constantly trying to darken your soul and my soul. And God does not want our minds and souls to be veiled. He wants the veil to be taken away. Because if we allow that veil to exist there, we're going to shortchange ourselves in the brief years that God has us here on this earth. I realize that my time on the earth has been a good while so far. And I also am aware of the fact that I will not be here 80 some odd years from now. I don't imagine I will be. But I'm telling you, you and I must realize that we're not going to be here long at the longest, no matter what our age is. So don't allow your mind to be darkened, veiled, with the mind playing of Satan. Into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness. with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, which means even by the Spirit. Mark 12:30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Luke 10:27. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. What did we say? Do you remember? Let's back up a little bit and let you look at it. Oh, sometimes we forget. How are we going to have the mind of Christ? By loving Jesus Christ supremely. Fixing our eyes on Him. That's number one. Now you'll notice that I have number two. Here we go. By yielding to the Holy Spirit's control. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, we've said that. But now yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:12. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Romans 6:13. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. I don't want to move the page now. I want you to see something. If you will study Romans 1:28-29, entire first chapter of the book of Romans, you're going to be able to see that God desires that you and I utilize that which He's given us in the form of our body, in the parts of our body, to be used for His honor and for His glory. What more do I need to say? By yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. This is very powerful, Romans 6:12. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. Now, I could go into detail here, but it is absolutely not necessary, because you're able to understand what I'm reading from God's Word. Verse 14. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you're slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. This is right down where the water hits the wheel. This is right down where you and I live. This is right down where you and I must be able to see that God has allowed us as a soul, born again spirit, living inside of a body. We have decisions to make how we're going to utilize this body. Third thing we're to do, if we're going to have the mind of Christ, is to soak up the mind of Christ. Fix our eyes on Jesus. By soaking in the Word. Look at it, please. Time is racing. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. All of us are aware of the fact that the Lord has said through the Apostle Paul, into the Corinthian believers, I could not speak unto you as unto mature individuals, but as unto babes. And the Greek word there is the word which means nursing babies on the bottle. I cannot speak to you as advanced believers. I have to keep on speaking to you as babies, nursing babies. That's sad, isn't it? As newborn babes. Likewise, newborn babies crave pure milk, so that by it they may grow unto salvation. Now let's go on. Verse 3. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Yeah, that, I'm not making that up, folks. I'm reading it from the Scripture. 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life, godliness, through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Verse 4, through these He has given us His exceeding great and precious promises, so that through Him you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Do I need to proclaim this? No. Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Now, that word is unique. Would you let me talk about Greek a little bit for you? I love it. E-P, ep, is a prefix. Then we have O-I-K-O-S, oikos, which means house. So this means building up your spiritual house. We talk about the spiritual house of the soul. We get that from this right here. So we have ep oikotomeo, the finished, the structure. In other words, you have a spiritual house, however long you've been a believer in advancing. But don't stop now. Go ahead and complete that spiritual house. And it won't be completed until you breathe your last breath. But you need to be working on a finished structure and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I want you to know that message, believe it or not, is almost over. But you've got to see this. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. And then verse 8 says, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. You know why a lot of people are not happy as believers? It's because they're not doing what we're talking about here. They're not willing on a day-by-day basis to receive the mind of Christ. They are so excited about some things in the earth, on this earth, that they are not excited about the mind of Christ. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much purer gold. They're sweeter than honey from the comb. And then verse 11, in the last verse, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Do you remember what we gave you at the first? A stronghold. And then we gave you Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. How are we going to have our mind renewed? We've already talked about it. There are various ways, but the most important thing for you and me as a believer is to have the mind, the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You folks have listened so beautifully. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we realize how powerful these thoughts are from Your wonderful Word. We realize that our lives on this earth are very short compared to eternity. We're here tonight, we're alive, but we do not know just exactly when You will see fit to take us home. We realize that it's not going to be long at the longest, no matter how long it is. So help us to be aware of the fact that we can be under the control of our sinful nature, or we can be under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Help us to realize how powerful this is. For the person who's never accepted You as Savior, Their need is to believe and to be saved. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. For all of us who are saved, we're here. You've left us here and there's a reason for our still being here. You want us to grow in grace and knowledge. So help us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank you for the opportunity to study and help us this night to realize how powerful these verses are. May we utilize them continually and consistently and faithfully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.